Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And he is your artist of the day.
Wait, does the song get any harder than that?
No.
I could actually get down with that.
Okay, all right.
Wow. Yep. How did he get that red rocker name?
Just started wearing red in the beginning, and he's a rocker.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sorry for the stupid questions,
no,
but as you know, I'm rock and roll illiterate.
It's okay.
Is that song just hard enough?
No, that song is...
Is that too hard?
It's not too hard, but it's not just hard enough. I mean, it's fine. It does not cross the Journey line.
Play Where Eagles Fly and see if he thinks that one's okay.
From Sammy Hagar?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I don't know.
We should.
I'm rock and roll. You were telling me the other day about how you met Michael Franti's guitarist, and he reacted to you wearing a Y&T shirt. And what did I ask you?
Who's Y&T?
Yeah, and you did this. Because you were so disappointed in me. So I'm going to ask a lot of stupid questions when it comes to rock and roll related stuff.
Give him just a little bit of Where Eagles Fly. See if he likes this one.
I'm looking for it, sorry.
Okay, keep looking. Let me know when you find it. Well, yes, Sammy Hagar is your artist of the day. Your keyword to cash this hour, by the way, is spirit, S-P-I-R-I-T. Text that into 72881, and you, my friends, are in the running for $1,000 with the keyword to cash.
Message and data rates apply. Please don't text and drive.
Yes, of course. Did you find it yet?
I found it. I'm waiting for it to load.
And then he had to do that.
Go back to the beginning.
We were good.
Because it actually, here it is.
Yeah, it's good.
Very nice. A little keyboard.
It's very much like Styx, Show Me the Way.
A little bit. I see that.
Or like Whitesnake, Here I Go Again at the very beginning. I'm very good with that. But then I understand things go downhill very quickly. And yeah.
Give it back to me.
Say, why must you always do this to me? I am in pain. Hey, speaking of being in pain, are we going to do Worst Joke Wednesday as you'd threatened yesterday?
We can do Worst Joke Wednesday.
I mean, I'm not trying to call an audible. I just know that we talked about it and it never really got resolved.
We're definitely doing Hummers at 5 today.
Okay, that'll be good.
Has everybody got their songs in?
Oh, I'm ready.
Yes.
I forgot what my songs are.
Are your songs in?
Yes, my songs are.
Okay.
Yeah.
My songs are in. They're doozies. Yeah, we can do Worst Joke Wednesday, 4:45?
Works for me.
Okay.
I'm sold.
Have you ever done a Worst Joke Wednesday?
I have not.
Do you know how to do it?
I think I can figure it out pretty quickly.
It's pretty easy.
Am I supposed to just act like I'm having a conversation and say a bad joke?
Right.
Okay.
Yes, you rattle off the contributions from the text lines of all the listeners with material.
Here, let me do this before you finish.
Okay.
Somebody just sent me in a worst joke. Keep it clean. Horrible but arable is what we always say.
Terrible but arable.
Thank you. And I will give Rebecca an example of how you have to deliver the joke, because if you just read it, you know, like, and then a third guy walked into the bar. I mean, that's no good. You got to make it a story.
Two guys walked into a bar. The third guy ducked.
Yeah, don't sound like Ben Stein, basically.
Okay, I got the idea.
Yeah, okay. Act as though, I mean, sell it to us, right?
Yeah, you got to sell. You
give us a little interpretation.
I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
Hey, Rebecca, why do ducks have tail feathers?
I don't think this is a good example.
And you would say, gee, Sam, I don't know. Why do ducks have tail feathers?
That's a good question. I never thought about it.
Yeah.
Well, it's to cover their butt quack.
Okay. Is Sam back in timeout?
He's really close.
Well, okay. I mean, he was giving you an example.
It was a demonstration.
Story here from NBC News. Turning 50 may seem daunting to many middle-aged adults, but it seems there may be something to the modern saying that 50 is the new 30. That is because a new survey has found that over half of women over the age of 50 say they are happy with their relationship status, and a quarter report being happy with their age. Interestingly enough, 1/6 of older respondents even say they are more confident in their looks and their attractiveness than at any other time in their life.
At age 50?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
More than half. Conversely, only 44% of respondents between the ages of 20 and 30 say they are comfortable with their current love life, and only 1 in 10 are content with their age and their self-confidence.
How much of this has to do with people by 50 going, all right, this is what I got. It's not going to get any better.
Probably a little bit.
Whereas when you're in your 20s, you're constantly trying to upgrade in pretty much every facet of your life. You're trying to get a nicer car, nicer house, nicer girlfriend, nicer job. Whereas by the time you hit 50, it's like, all right, well, here we are.
Listen to this. If you have kids in the car, cover their ears, earmuffs, please. When it comes to sex, older women.
Make good lovers?
Seem to have the upper hand as well. A third of 50-plus respondents say they are having sex at least twice a week. 70% of older respondents say they go regularly on dates. Older women are exercising more, with women age 50 to 65 reporting about 2 hours of physical fitness a week. Meanwhile, women between the ages of 20 and 30 say they only get 90 minutes a week
of
exercise.
Okay.
Of exercise. I want to be clear. I don't want you to. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So 50 really is the new 30.
You got something to look forward to. I mean, you do. I do too. The difference is, you know, I got a ways to go before I get there.
You're in timeout. You're in timeout till 4:20. 576-7798. Your keyword this hour is spirit. Will Starrett is in timeout until 4:20. Yes, into the corner, sir.
I'm sitting in the corner.
He's actually in the corner.
He's in timeout.
Am I the only other one left?
It's like being a kid again.
Sit on your hands. That's what my mom used to make me do when I was a kid.
Ow!
Mm-hmm. 576-7798.
I said, girls, I ain't as good as I once was. I got a few years on me now. But there was a time back in my prime when I could really lay it down. And if you need some love tonight, then I might have just enough. I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm as good once as I ever was.
Tony Keith.
Is that song about what I think it's about?
No.
Okay. Because it sure sounds like it is.
I don't think so.
Okay.
A story here from the business and finance section of your Wall Street Journal today.
Which you retrieved off your neighbor's lawn, did you not?
No. For the record, I must give credit where credit is due. She is now throwing it into the proper lawn.
Hey!
Has been for 2 weeks. I'm very proud. Yep. She used to stash it behind the privacy bushes at my neighbor's yard. Drove me crazy.
Like you had to dig it out?
Like there's no way she could have thrown it there. She had to actually get out of the car to put it there.
So she planted it.
But lately, for the last 2 weeks, she's been putting it where it belongs, and that is right on my driveway.
Do you think that complaining on the public airwaves had anything to do with that?
Her putting it in the neighbor's yard?
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
Do you think complaining about her putting it in the neighbor's yard led to it returning to your driveway?
I don't know.
Anyway, but good thing it was there.
Now my Wall Street Journal is showing up where it belongs, and that is in my yard.
You just wait. If you complain about it again, she probably on a day when
I'll, I'll tell you right now, she's not getting a tip this year, I'll tell you.
Well, just for having said that, next time it rains, she's not going to put it in one of those sleeves. Oh. So it's going to be all soaked out, and you're going to be microwaving your newspaper to dry it.
A Philadelphia jury on Tuesday ordered Johnson & Johnson to pay $8 billion in damages to a Maryland man who said that his use of J&J's antipsychotic Risperdal as a child caused enlarged breasts, and the company failed to properly report the risk. $8 billion. Because you
with
know what?
B.
You can enlarge my breasts all you want.
Make you look like Dolly Parton?
For $8 billion.
Really?
Yes.
So, and you would have them removed with that money?
I probably would.
Is that kind of the litmus test for what is excessive? You know, if the dollar amount is something that we would sign up to have it done to us, is the reward excessive? Do you get what I'm saying here?
Yeah.
Like $8 billion, who wouldn't? I mean, be honest.
For $8 billion, you can make me look like whatever you want in my booby region.
For $8 billion, would you let your mammary glands grow?
Oh, hell yeah.
See? I think the award might be a touch high.
See, and this is what drives me crazy.
Now, you know it's going to get reduced on appeal, because it always does.
Of course it was. It will. This is why I have made the argument in the past that juries should never decide the actual compensatory damages, because it's really easy to spend other people's money.
Mm-hmm.
It's really easy to say, $8 billion. I mean, how many times, God bless her, Dana, how many times has she been on this show and said,
add zeros? Yep, start adding zeros.
I mean, with all due respect, sir, and I'm not making fun of whatever you had, but you basically had enlarged breasts, okay? Not something, you had man boobs.
The women are not real fond of those.
No,
I understand.
Really.
Women don't like man boobs, and I get it.
Gynecomastia. Right?
Yeah, that's the name of what he had. Yeah.
Yes.
So I get it that you didn't want man boobs. I respect that, and I understand that. But $8 billion, that's ridiculous. It reminds me of that woman who sued, I think it was also Johnson & Johnson, on the baby powder stuff, because she was putting it in her nether regions and she ended up with cancer. And I think they gave her like $37 billion or something ridiculous. I get it.
If I recall correctly, that was a different case because it was a class action suit. And therefore, the award is higher in a class action suit. I may be wrong.
I'm not sure you're right, but I'm not going to challenge you on it. But my point is this. We have got to refigure the way that we do civil lawsuits in America. $8 billion is almost laughable. The guy is still alive. It's not a terminal disease. He wasn't given cancer. He was given man boobs by some antipsychotic drug that he was taking when he was a kid. $2 million, $3 million, $4 million? Whatever. But $8 billion that you know Johnson & Johnson is never going to pay. It makes a mockery out of our civil justice system.
Is it a case of marking it up to mark it down? Because everybody, including, I would argue, the members of the jury, expect that number to be knocked down on appeal. So you go in high expecting it to come down. So therefore,
but it was the jury.
I know, but what I'm saying is I'm betting the jury is expecting that this number isn't going to stand either. They're thinking, okay, we'll award this guy $8 billion so it gets knocked down to reasonable number.
And before we get to the news, let me just remind you, the Goldmans sued O.J. Simpson for wrongful death,
mm-hmm.
and they got $33 million for the murder of their daughter.
And just a side note, God bless Ron Goldman for being as much of a bulldog as he has been about collecting, too.
I mean, it's just silly. I read this headline this morning when I woke up, jury hits J&J with $8 billion verdict. I'm like, this is what is wrong. It's a laughing stock.
How much of this has to do with the fact that it's a, you know, multinational conglomerate?
Who cares?
But okay, but my point is, if you hit them with a really big figure like this, it's being done because the company is that big, and therefore it makes it sting a little bit.
576-7798.
Loud voice, Bullman, please step out onto the line. Ballot bridge was a comfort. Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades and sells a Chevy 69. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre. Destination unknown as we're pulling for some gas. Officially placed a poster reveals a smile from the back. Elephants and acrobats, lion, snakes, monkey. Billy speaks righteous, Sister Cena says funky. How bizarre. How bizarre. How bizarre.
Telephone number here is 576-7798. Well, Sarah filling in for Dana Wright. She's a little bit under the weather today.
And this time we think she's actually under the weather, not just out golfing.
Can't play golf on a day like this.
I mean, you can, but you got to be really dedicated, and I don't think she has that level.
California's largest utility has intentionally cut power to roughly 500,000 customers in Northern California, a number that is scheduled to rise in what could be a days-long outage as the company tries to prevent wildfires during extremely windy and dry conditions. Pacific Gas and Electric started the shutoff early Wednesday, leaving parts of 22 counties, including the northern portions of San Francisco, in the dark. As many as 300,000 additional customers are expected to lose power later in the day, including in Alameda. And Santa Clara counties, which contain Oakland, Berkeley, and San Jose, for a total of 800,000 homes.
Man, you want to talk about a glowing sales pitch for solar? If you're one of those people trying to sell solar panels, today is your day. You could probably get people to sign on the dotted line easily.
I don't understand why you have to cut power to prevent fires.
PG&E, that company, had an issue. I think it was either
Pacific Gas and Energy.
It was either last year or the year before. I forget which. They wound up with an issue where I think it was one of their transmission lines sparked a wildfire. And they ended up on the hook for millions of dollars in damages. And so it appears as though the company has decided, rather than run that risk of having to pay that out again, we're just going to shut her down. Obviously, that's a bold move, but it's...
Are you going to pay for me to restock my fridge?
That's what I'm saying. I guarantee you the answer to that from them is probably no.
I'm assuming hospitals are off limits.
I don't know.
They have generators.
Yeah. They're saying this could take 5 days, Scott. 5 days.
Okay. I guess I'm a little confused as to how this is going to prevent another wildfire.
Because if you have the power lines that are running, you know, through the forest of Northern California,
okay,
and sparks fly off one of those, starts the forest fire. Well, if you don't have any power running through the lines, there's nothing to generate the sparks.
They're also expecting high winds, and so they're afraid that they could be torn down, and then that would spark a fire.
Okay.
Yeah. The wind picks up so much, the lines could break free and spark, and here you go with a wildfire. And since they've already gotten in legal trouble over this before, they figured the easier solution, rather than run that risk again, was to shut everybody off for prospectively days. And only gave, as I understand it, about 12 hours notice.
Okay.
That's a problem.
Francis Curry, this is from Fox News, so you know it's true. Francis Curry, one of the three living World War II Medal of Honor recipients and whose likeness was used to create Medal of Honor G.I. Joe in 1998, has died. He was 94 years old.
Mm.
Curry was a native of Selkirk, New York, joined the Army when he was just 17 years old. He was in Belgium during the Battle of the Bulge in 1944. He has passed away at the age of 94.
Heck of a run.
Yeah. Have you, I know we've all probably met World War II veterans. Have you ever met a World War I veteran?
No.
I remember doing an interview in the, this had to be in the late 90s. And it was thought that this person, and his name, God bless him, and I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, was thought to be the last World War I veteran in the Kansas City area.
Mm.
So I went over to his house, knocked on the door, because we didn't know his phone number. And this was, for the most part, before cell phones, and chances were he didn't have one. And he invited me in, and we did an interview. One of the nicest human beings I've ever met. I'll never forget sitting there, and I think we spoke for about 40 minutes. And I remember thinking to myself about halfway through, oh my God, I'm interviewing a World War I
right.
veteran.
Mm-hmm.
But he was one of the most racist human beings I've ever met in my life.
I almost wonder, in fact, let me rephrase that. I suspect a lot of that comes from the scenario that they were in.
The era that they grew up in, you mean?
Well, partially that, but also the circumstances that they were in as it pertained to fighting the war. The reason I say that is, and I'll go ahead and use my grandfather as an example, because he was in World War II and later the Korean conflict, as he called it. Never called it the Korean War. Korean conflict, always. And he was not racist when it came to black people, Hispanics, any of that. But considering he had fought against Asian people, oh yeah, he had a, like, he
really?
He would see a Shoji Tabuchi commercial come on TV and he would just about blow his top.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And I am confident that he was not the only one, that because of fighting alongside or fighting against a specific ethnic group, in this case Asian people,
mm-hmm.
it made him very prejudicial against those particular people. I would imagine, I don't know, but I would suspect there was at least an element of that in the gentleman that you interviewed.
But he fought in World War I, so he was fighting against Germans and Austrians and.
Mm-hmm. But who was he?
He was prejudiced against black people.
Okay. Now, see, that's the part we hadn't gotten into, but.
And I mean prejudiced.
Mm-hmm.
Like that word all the time.
Wow.
Like when I went back to the studio
mm-hmm.
to cut up the interview, I just had to let that stuff go, and it obviously wasn't included. I wasn't looking to disparage this man. I wasn't looking to make fun of him.
But it was so prevalent, it would have changed context and all that if you'd gone in and taken it out every instance, right?
It would have seemed tawdry
mm-hmm.
if I had pointed it out. But it was hard to write that story and not point out how racist he was.
Right. And I would say, based on what you're telling me about him being, you know, racist against black people, that, yeah, that was probably just a
sign of the times.
A sign of the times, exactly. I had a great-grandmother who was not racist at all, never really seemed to have an issue with black people, but used that word as in describing a certain something. And that was just, you know, it
was no
big deal.
Are you talking about Brazilian nuts?
No. I was talking about those little kind of chocolate-covered marshmallow fluff candies. You know what I'm talking about?
No.
Okay. Well, she would refer to them as...
It's fine.
N-word toes. So, but that was just no big deal to her. I think it's a matter of the times.
Which is so weird because, and I won't say who it was, she's mm-hmm. passed, but a member of my family used to refer to Brazilian nuts like that. And I always remember just thinking, what is wrong with you? You can't talk like that.
It's a sign of the times. And even, I hate to say this, but I would imagine that whenever people who are my age are elderly, we will probably use what was the preferred term at one time toward a certain group, and it will be considered horribly racist by our grandchildren or and great-children.
Or inappropriate, right? In I mean, some fashion.
My grandmother, one time a few years ago, told a story, and in one sentence, she used the words crippled, retarded, and oriental. And I'm sitting across the table, you know, with my eyes bugging out.
When was this?
Just probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was talking about this family that lived around the corner, and she said, you know, there was this Oriental family, and they had a son, bless his heart, he was crippled, and they sent him to the home for the retarded children. And my eyes are about to pop out of my skull because you don't say those words.
Right.
But to her, that was not only no big deal. At one time, that's just what you said. Meanwhile, I am turning every color imaginable.
576-7798. 576-7798. Will Stair filling in for Dana Wright. She's under the weather today. Your keyword this hour is spirit. Spirit. 72881. Well, this is an exciting game to watch. In the second inning, I believe it's game five of the NL playoffs. St. Louis leads the Atlanta Braves in the second inning 11-0.
I'm sorry, what?
10 runs scored in the first inning alone.
Well, that's not a good sign for Atlanta because this is it.
This is game five, right?
Yeah. ALDS or NLDS is a best of five, and it's tied at two apiece. Welp.
11-0, top of the second.
Long way to go, but wow. If the Braves were looking to win that one, they really did not start that well. You going to be okay over there?
Yeah, I got something in my throat, man.
Well, do you want me to open the line for Worst Joke Wednesday?
Oh, yes, please. Oh, I forgot we were going to do that.
576-7798. Go ahead and text in your worst joke to us right now.
Yeah, you got texting it. We can't take
That's
it
right.
That's right. Because we don't trust.
Terrible but arable on the text line, 22980.
Yep.
Text us your absolute worst joke.
22980.
Yes.
When you find one, Rebecca will.
I am staring at one right now.
Okay.
Knock, knock.
Will, who's there?
Little old lady.
Little old lady who?
I didn't know you could yodel. Listeners with material.
Will and Rebecca.
Yeah.
Yes.
You guys ever wonder what the difference is between an in-law and an outlaw?
I have always wondered that.
Yeah. Outlaws are wanted.
Oh.
That's more of an observation than a joke. Hey, did you hear there was a huge fight at the seafood joint last night?
No, I didn't. What happened?
Battered fish everywhere.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Hey, Sam.
Oh, what's that, Rebecca?
So I was walking on the beach the other day, and I saw this huge grouch.
Yeah?
It was a sand crab.
What's red and bad for your teeth?
What's red and bad for your teeth? Will, I don't know. What is?
A brick.
Hey, Scott, what does a farmer say when he loses his tractor?
You know, I don't know that I've ever known a farmer to lose his tractor. What would one say?
Gosh, where's my tractor?
You know, I'm dating a girl who works at the zoo.
Oh, you are?
I think she's a keeper. I am in pain.
You guys ever wonder why the yogurt thinks it's better off than the milk?
Yeah, actually.
Yeah, it's cultured.
Hey, what do you call a dog with no legs?
I don't know.
I'm scared.
Sam, I don't know. What do you call a dog with no legs?
Oh, it doesn't matter. He's not coming to you anyway.
Okay.
Wow. Wow.
Hey, guys. This branch fell and it took out 25% of my roof. Oof.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hang on. You got to explain that one to me.
I'm missing the R.
Right. Oof. The word roof. Roof 25%. Took out 25%, so roof oof. Becomes oof.
Got it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guys, what did the nut say when he sneezed?
I don't know. What did he say?
Cashew.
How can you tell when the skyscraper is lying?
I don't know, Will. How?
Because it has many different stories.
You're in timeout.
I didn't come up with it.
But you read it.
I'm just the messenger. It's not my fault that the listeners with material are all coming out in force.
You guys ever wonder, speaking of Worst Joke Wednesday, what's the difference between a dad joke and a bad joke?
Yeah.
Well, it's apparent.
What do you call a belt made of watches?
I don't know. That's a good question.
A waste of time.
Very funny, 1137. No chance in hell we're going to read that.
Mm-hmm. Did you know giraffes can grow up to 18 feet?
I did not know that.
Most only have 4.
Do you ever wonder why the horse crossed the road?
No, Scott. Why?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Sam. He was trying to get to the neighbors.
Wow.
Wait, and I was the one who was going to be in timeout.
Am I in timeout?
Can we put the guy in timeout whose name is on the door?
Did I just go into timeout?
I think so, yeah.
Damn it.
What did the janitor say when he threw open the closet door?
What?
Surprise! No, stop! If you're going to put me in timeout, you've got to act better than that. What?
Sorry. I'm sorry, Sam.
Otherwise, I'm jumping back in this
what
game.
What did the janitor say?
Supplies.
Hey, did you guys ever wonder what kind of streets ghosts haunt?
I had never thought about that until this very moment.
Dead ends.
Much better. Much better.
Thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, stop it with the cow with no legs. That joke is so old.
Hey, guys, why is Peter Pan always flying?
I don't know. I never thought about it.
He never lands.
By the way, somebody wants to know, are Helen Keller jokes allowed? Yes, and they are encouraged.
Actually, this is funny because it's, well, very true. What's the most terrifying word in nuclear physics?
You know, I'm not knowing much about nuclear physics. I never thought about it. What is it?
Oops.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.